Oh, it's recording.
Yeah. I'm a spoon.
There's some. No, you know what? We're gonna leave the pre-show a mystery. Welcome once again to the Loose Screws podcast, also known as Space Chats with Buddies.
Space Chats? Space Chats? Space Talks?
I
thought it was Buddies Talks.
A bit jibber jabber with friends.
Oh, we could do this all night.
You guys, we're so bad at content creation.
You're a content creation.
Terrible.
Buddies creating content in space while on a planet talking about ships.
Space content in spaceships. And it is the 18th of September. It's a Monday.
It's 39.99.
It is 30. What year was it? 39.93.
Dude, declare. It is
93.92.
It's 39. Well, no, 39.92 was when the crewmate disappeared.
What?
No, I think that was supposed to be last year. So I think currently it's supposed to be 39.92.
Yeah, we'll get there. There was a time jump between seasons.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway.
Wait, what season of the Golden Girls are we on? That's
what I'm 14. 14.
Comes full circle to old ladies again.
Yep, we did it. Callbacks.
they don't know about.
That was a double callback.
It was. It was very, very deep and very thorough. Anyway, so welcome to the Loose Screws podcast. I'm Commander J. Antrax, and I'm joined tonight by Lark Shadow. And that's when he usually says hello, and maybe he will later. Commander Chig. I'm also joined by Commander Chig.
I tried to say Nurgle. Hello.
Yeah, I know. You missed your mute, but then Chig is such a good yes and her that he just didn't, you know, he just went with it, man.
I thought that was the thing tonight. My bad.
Yeah, I did too. I was prepared to just be silent. Let Trax figure it out.
Oh no, I was on. It was fine. I was going with it too. It's all good. I did.
And that was
kind of
completely unscripted. We didn't plan that. It just happened organically.
You don't script shit, dude.
Yeah, the audience is not going to be surprised to learn that there's something else we didn't plan.
Pretty sure I can't spell script.
Well, it's yet another weekly podcast about Elite Dangerous, in which we're going to talk about some random stuff that happened. I guess probably. And maybe even some stuff that's about Elite Dangerous.
Well, somebody's typing.
I think all the I'm totally playing Baldur's Gate constantly people aren't here tonight. So
you know what Baldur's Gate did to me?
Oh no!
What did Baldur's Gate do?
Say
to you?
One of them is.
You know what? Let's talk about Baldur's Gate.
I was playing it. Well, we're going to end up talking about something else instead because this is what Baldur's Gate did to me. The strategery involved in Baldur's Gate got me really craving playing some real-time strategy games. So now I'm back to playing StarCraft 2 and trying to rank on the ladder a little bit. I spent the last week playing StarCraft. So that's what Baldur's Gate did to me. Because, well, actually, there's another step in there. I was playing Baldur's Gate, and then Starfield came out. And I tried playing Starfield, and I'm like, it's just like a first-person shooter, but I can be third-person if I want. But it's just really just another first-person shooter thing. I know Adaxis's head is, his eyes are bulging out of his head. But I tried it for about an hour, and I'm like, why am I not having fun? And I went, because Baldur's Gate was so different and had strategy, I kind of have that urge, and then I went and played StarCraft. So maybe it was Starfield that got me into StarCraft. I don't know. I'm blaming both of those games.
Wait. Just so I get this straight, Starfield made you appreciate how good Baldur's Gate is, so you played StarCraft?
Yes!
Yeah.
Okay, I think makes perfect sense.
It's kind of the way my brain works usually. You guys know that.
Yeah, I followed it.
So if you're wondering how my week went, there was that, and I got really sick for a couple of days. So that was in the middle of there too. So that,
that
was fun.
Did you get that flu that was going around, or the cold?
I have no idea what it was. I was just super fatigued, and I all I wanted to do is sleep for a day. Then had some chest thing. Then I felt really good for a day where I thought I was over it. Then it came back like twice as bad, and then I missed work for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden it went away as fast as it came on. Almost I was like tired, then all of a sudden I was laying down Friday afternoon after I'd missed Thursday, and Friday I called work. I said, I'm not gonna come try to spread a plague to everybody, I'm just gonna stay home today. They're like, all right, good idea. So then I went to lay down to take a nap, still tired, at like 11:30 in the morning. I laid down and was laying there for about 15 minutes, and all of a sudden I'm like, I have a shit ton of energy all of a sudden. And I got up and I was just better, and like no lingering cough, nothing. It was just gone. Wow. So I don't know. All that's right. What happens when the Matrix is glitching out. So that's my week. My turn to talk is done, and I'll just let you guys carry on now.
Okay, fine.
Very good. Lark, what you been up to, man?
I have had like the week and weekend from hell, and I am just tired, guys. Just been a lot of personal stuff is all. Nothing I really want to talk about, just going through it too. But in Elite, I have been working on engineering the heck out of a Diamondback Scout, and this thing is fun.
Yeah. Scouts?
Yeah!
You don't have to...
And for podcast content, I am currently on my way to Desiat in open so I can engineer my drives to clean.
There you go. Why not? You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I probably won't be fine, but it'll be fun.
frag cannons and torpedoes. Okay. That's an interesting combination.
And an SCV friend. Bay. And, always got to have the
SCV. Oh, he's the build. I was like, what are you guys talking about? Oh, I see.
that is an interesting choice, my
Frags,
friend.
Frags, pack hounds, and torps.
Okay. I'm making it to specifically as a sniper, or not a sniper, as an assassin for BGS stuff. Get in there, disable the ship, blow it the crap up, and get out without being seen.
All right.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Sounds good. Nurgle, what about you?
How's your internet? Stable for now. Let's not talk about it.
Okay.
Because it was going up and down earlier, and it's decided it wants to play nice, so we're not going to talk about it. But I'm actually playing around with a ship build, too. I've decided that, probably a year past when everybody else was doing it, I want to try to build one of these turret boat thingies. And And see how that works. So I'm kind of, at the moment, I'm playing around in... Etsy trying to piece together a build on a cutter hull, because I happen to have a cutter hull lying around, and we'll see how that looks. And if I don't like how it looks, I'll contemplate whether or not I want to go buy a T10.
You should tell us about the special vet you were telling me about earlier too. Now the track.
I caught a video at some point earlier. I think the end of last week actually, somebody had built an all cannon Corvette.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. Yes.
Which is interesting.
It is. It's funny. Cannons are such a funny thing because of the speed difference with the different size mounts.
Right.
It's an odd weapon because of that. But as I recall, and I've seen an Anaconda done this way too, you kind of have to be so close before you're really going to pull the trigger on your one trigger, all cannons go off at the same time fire group, that it almost doesn't matter that the speed is that different for most of these. At least that's the way it looked in the YouTube video I've seen.
Yeah, and it's really the same principle as like frags. You're going to be so close when you pull the trigger that it really doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, can you do like a pirate ship kind of style, like go all turret and try to do broadsides and give it like a pirate ship name, like Black Pearl or something? I mean, is that?
I don't
kind
think
of the
there
idea?
Are turreted cannons. You can do
there are, there are okay. turreted cannons.
Oh. There are.
Yes, hold I on. Did an all turreted build on my T10 with cannons once. It was ridiculous, and I loved it.
So, do they auto fire?
They
like
do
if you
auto
pull
fire.
The trigger, you put you if you target somebody. Oh yeah, look at this, turreted cannons.
That would
you pull the trigger, and they miss and they'll a track lot. And continuing to fire. Oh, okay, yeah.
That would be fun for about 10 minutes.
Hilarious. Well, hilariously,
I was just going to say, on the pirate ship thing, I mean, you can do a pirate ship build with fixed cannons, which is the way a pirate ship would actually be, right?
Yeah, but you can't get those fixed. Yeah, but you can't get that fixed to the side, is what I'm saying.
Well, sure you can. You just use your thrusters and go by sideways.
You just drift sideways until you catch them broadside, and bam.
Drifting in a cutter with fixed cannons. Yeah, that would,
no, but that would work. On the turreted cannons, I actually did a lot of sciencing with those. And the size 1 and size 2 cannons on turrets, if you engineer those at least to G3 long range, they actually hit more than they do without the engineering at all. Because I tested both.
Sure, because the projectile speed goes way up.
The large ones, it didn't matter so much. But the size 2 and size 1, it made a big difference. And that was just interesting to me.
See, I think you're the only guy here that doesn't engineer all of his guns to at least G5.
Because I never have enough mass.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I promise you, I will not be building the all cannon boat. So,
It looked good on a Type 10.
Yeah, but I don't look good in a Type 10, so that's not happening either.
You wouldn't be able to hit anything, of course, but except another Type 10.
And it would be hysterical for the 10 minutes it took for your ammo to run out.
Yeah,
but, and that's right. I can think of an extremely narrow use case for an all turreted cannons T10, because on a stationary target, those things will hit 100% of the time because the turrets are so accurate. Mm-hmm. So like in a CZ, if everyone wanted to ignore a capital ship, for instance, then a T10 with long range cannons could park out of range of the, let's just say, Farragut's lasers, and then just pick off all the heat sinks from there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Actually, that would be a decent weapon for that with a long range mod. That are real guns, of course, which do plenty of damage to the heat.
I have yet to make that work in practice, but in theory, it's my dream.
Well, I don't know if you're. I mean, you would have to manually target them still.
Yes.
But
you know, whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah. If nothing else, it sounds really cool when they all fire.
I see. I bet it does. That would be the one thing that would get me to do it.
It's like a chonk.
How'd that go?
You heard me.
That's a fairly accurate sound effect.
It is, actually. It is. Well done, sir.
For a sufficiently generous definition of accurate.
Good enough for a podcast.
There you go.
Well, let's carry on, though, because I could talk about cannons all night. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. Carrying on. What about you?
Nurgle.
Oh, me?
Did Nurgle go yet?
That was Nurgle. He was talking about building. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Followed it all the way back. There's a cutter involved. And,
so long ago. Yeah. I'm a bit senile. Quite a story. I miss shit.
A bit?
Rax, how have you been?
Doing okay.
Professor, I should say. Professor, how have you been?
Yes.
Class is going pretty well. I can't remember if I've talked about this on the show or if it was my other podcast, but I started giving some assignments and was shocked when a non-zero number of students didn't do the assignment. And it was like easy. It was just like, I need something to evaluate people. And yes, like I have like 14 or 15 in the class and 5 of them did not turn in the first assignment by the due date. And this is like in college, like 4 of these people are grad students. They're going to have master's degrees soon. Or maybe they won't. This class.
Take that as a personal slight and fail them.
You know, so that's the thing is, like, I guess there's sort of different personality types that end up teaching. And some people would be like really feel really disrespected by this. Like, and like on Thursday, there was a kid just like sleeping in class, like mouth hanging open and everything. And I don't take that personally. I just don't care about that student anymore. You know what I mean? I'm going to put in the effort that if I can see the student is putting in some effort, I'm going to make sure they learn the material. And to this person, I'm just not. I just don't care.
Yeah, you can put in the effort of trying to like throw a pen and land it in his mouth or an M&M or something.
That's what my wife said. My wife said I should have balled up a piece of paper and tried to hit him with it. But like, I don't care. Like, if he's gonna do that, then I don't really want to wake him up. You know, like, go ahead, bud.
Get your bees. Yeah, you do.
You know, no, but I think it's going well. And been playing some Elite. We did, excuse me, I gotta clear my throat here. So I guess it was right after the podcast last time because it got moved to Tuesday, but we did the AX Dolphin Pod. We ended up basically, we had four dolphins and went and challenged the Thargoids with them. With only two small hard points, the firepower is tough to get used to, but with only two small hard points, this is the first time I fought interceptors where you didn't have to have four pips and weapons.
I'm not going to lie. That was such a fun watch.
I can have four pips and engines and that thing never overheats. It's easy to keep it down with heat sinks. So we took out a basilisk pretty easily, and then we were challenging the Medusa, and frankly, it was going to go down, and then we got bitten by these sort of buggy Thargoid mechanics.
No bugs in this game.
Well, I mean, you maybe should sit down for this, but let me tell you what happened is we got to...
Wait. I just got to cut in real quick. Does anybody actually stand while we record this show?
For reference, I have actually yes yet, and I do see other hollow squares in system, so we'll see what happens.
And actually, yes, some of us do stand while we do this show.
You look at me all healthy and crap.
Yeah, you stand to do this? Really?
Sometimes.
Why?
Because I'm old and I can only sit for so long before it starts
to hurt.
You're
so old it hurts to sit. That's right.
Because awesome. I'm an old man and I get stove up.
Hashtag thanks, man.
Piles. Oh, yeah. Boy. Sorry, Trax. I cut you off. No. On that rabbit hole. Where did he go? Did he get mad and leave?
I don't know what happened to Trax, but yeah. there is another hollow square right next to where Farseer Inc. is.
Probably somebody getting some engineering, because that's what people tend to do in Desia.
Yeah, maybe not. They're not a triangle, so they haven't targeted me, so that's good.
Let me see if I've got any known gankers in Desia. Oh, Commander Hark Shadow's there. You better watch out.
I only did that once.
Yeah. Yeah, Trax's computer crashed.
Oh no. Shankies.
Good for him.
Does anyone have the sound for a squad update? Because we can just move right along, or we can
wait.
I'm back.
There he is.
Yes, my computer just totally rebooted. I have no idea. I think I can't even remember if I was in the middle of talking or not.
You are.
I don't know. I questioned the group on who stands while the show is recording, and we found out that Nurgle is old and must stand because sitting for too long hurts.
And clearly standing crashes Trax's computer, though.
I guess it does.
Who knows?
You were talking here. About the the glorious bug-free and completely flawless game execution.
I find myself once again with a sour taste after trying to get a cool, fun, challenging event going. I mean, it was a challenge to fight interceptors with only two small hard points, but we were managing it, and that Medusa was definitely going to go down, but then on the last heart we lost our concentration for a second. We did not stay cold and in silent running through the sleep phase on the last heart, and we did get a shutdown pulse, and because we only have three utility slots, we weren't carrying neutralizers trying to do things by avoiding the pulse instead. And the one of the new sort of buggy Thargoid mechanics is their attention wanes extremely quickly. And so basically with all of us just going cold and drifting more than like 6 kilometers out, it just left. Just left the fight, which is super frustrating. And
I mean, they're losing the war, so
Because there are no boats either.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, we've got Thargoids that'll wait till the last heart, and then while you're shut down, they'll just leave instead of trying to kill you. It's frustrating. So whatever. Other than that, I played some BGS. You know, speaking of cannons, I did actually. There's been wars, rolling wars going on, and to try to like achieve efficiency in that, like the most efficient way to do wars is actually not the fun way in a group, but to just go into solo and do low CZs as fast as you can. Because like, sure, I could take out a medium CZ or a high CZ, but I can do enough lows fast enough by myself that it's worth more points per hour that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I actually, I thought, you know, Lark Shadow is always talking about the cannons is a gun that I had never really tried until like last, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before. Cause like, I think I tried them early on when I was new at the game and didn't quite get it. And they never seemed to make sense with any of the builds I was drawing up. And so anyway, I was like, whatever, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do I started with a Corvette and it was all lasers and then two huge cannons up on top, and it's actually worked quite well. And oh, and with cannons, by the way, the short range, that's the sneak attack engineering. I'm not mixing sizes, I'm only using like the size 4 cannons, but short range, because the range on them is still 2 kilometers even when they're short ranged, because they're pretty long to begin with, and they have cannons have no damage fall off.
Nope,
at all, zero naturally. So and you're not going to hit anything outside of 2 kilometers anyway. Usually you have to be closer than that. So those things pack quite a wallop. They have a pretty satisfying little explosion, and they shred modules. They really do. They really work well. I think the trick is just don't worry about mixing the sizes. Just put you know, whatever the biggest hard point on your ship is, put a cannon in that, or those if there's more than one, short range engineering on them, be done with it. And basically use them like you would a plasma accelerator. Fantastically efficient on energy and heat and stuff compared to plasma. So then I switched it over and used one on an FDL, basically the same idea. Like a combination of lasers. I think I had one long range and the rest of them for up close. And then that short range cannon, I could get through 3 CZs before I needed a reload on that. It's pretty nice. So lots of damage. Target those modules. I was blowing up, you know, like a Type 9 or something like that, or sometimes an Anaconda, but the Anaconda's power plant's harder to hit, just where it is on the ship. It's so far back, the ship's always turned into face you, it's a little tougher, but a Type 9, blowing those things up when they still had like 70% hull.
Nice.
Pow, hit that power plant like 2, maybe 3 times and that ship goes down.
I love it. crazy. I think my record for biggest ship I've blown up over 90% hull was an Anaconda, and I was in my T10 with 4 large long range or short range cannons, and I popped their power plant at 98% hull and they exploded.
Nice.
Yeah, it can work. It can work.
I was laughing like a maniac. I love that crap.
So I guess that leaves me with the only weapon that I can't find any use for. I can't find a situation in which some other weapon is not better for that exact purpose is burst lasers. Sorry, burst lasers. If anybody knows different, please let me know. But
the only argument I have for burst lasers is I think they look cool.
Yeah. The only thing that nothing else has is that inertial impact special effect, which can make the damage really, really high. But the jitter is so big that it's like a laser shotgun. It's like a laser frag cannon. And it's just, I don't know. It uses too much energy and it's just not, I don't know. It's never turned out. It's never seemed worth it. But
well, anyway, I'm going to go on all burst laser T10 now just to see how it'll work.
There you go. Do them up. Okay. Well, that's enough rambling. Shall we move on then? So let's see. Slightly. On this week's episode, we actually do have some dev news. There actually is some in-game news.
Oh, what?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, not like a lot, but something, you know. Okay. We've got a date for our next update. We've got some stuff that went off not exactly as it was supposed to, and we've got some new module stuff, blah blah blah. So anyway, Let's do a squad update. And we shall.
Cool.
Incoming priority message.
Squadron briefing.
All right, we're going to keep this really short because at the moment we're just trying to keep everything stable while we get a couple of systems calm down and plan for an expansion. So at the moment, there are two wars going on, Timor and MCC 858, and there's an election going on in Yinti. We are in it to win it for all three of those. And we have some overheating issues with the usual offenders, the Andromedas. At the moment, it is 7 Andromeda and KZ Andromeda that are both hovering around 70% and are an issue. All of the details for that and all of the systems that we're trying to support and equalize in is in Blooming Wind's Standing Orders post in the Loose Screws faction channel of the Discord, so you can go there for some more details. And probably, I don't know, maybe the next week or so, we'll be talking about pushing for an expansion once we kind of lock down some possible destinations and narrow those down some. And that's what's going on.
All right.
Yeah. Hey,
you know those missions that turn, I think they can spawn from all kinds of different things, but like when you have an election, for an example, and did I say an example? Is that correct?
Yeah, I was just,
yeah, you did.
Carry on.
An example, yes.
An example. Oh, man. That just completely took me off of my whole train because I was like, did I just say that wrong? Anyway. So, those missions where it's like liberate something, right? So you're going to find an NPC ship and you're not going to need to hatch break them to get whatever it is. If it's an election, it's like diplomatic bags or political prisoners or something weird. I've seen all those sorts of things. Canisters of something that you got. So I usually take those on. I usually find those to be a pretty good way to get 5 influence missions. And sometimes you can stack 2 or 3 of them and just bounce around to a few systems and come on home. I encountered one last time I was doing some BGSing that I could not complete. It was a Type 9 was the target. And this fucking Type 9 had 1 point defense on the bottom side and just was like, it was instant death. Any limpet I shot, instant death. I couldn't get anywhere near it. And the stupid thing that its hull was so paper thin, I tried to shoot out its point defense and I didn't ever get it below 90 before the ship was like about to explode and I needed to like jump back to Super Cruise to reset it. So I've never had to think about this before, but I guess if I wanted to keep going like that, I would have to do something like put a specific gun on my crate that was like for shooting modules out, like a rail gun or a small cannon or something like that, that would try to do little hull damage. A cannon, actually, I could put high yield shell on a cannon, and that would make it do very little hull damage, but mostly module damage, right? So that would be the thing.
So what I have seen Captain Flint do, formerly Flintlock Engineering, because he likes to just go and pirate just for kicks and giggles a lot, not even for BGS or anything, just because he thinks it's fun, right?
Yeah,
basically. And he has such a specialized setup for it. Because he uses his cutter to do it, and he has 3 weapons that are for taking down the shield. Then he has to take out modules, depending on what he thinks he's going to be going against. He'll either use seeker missiles or pack hounds targeting the specific module. And then to finish it off, he'll have enforcer cannons that he'll only fire if the shield is up, because at that point the ship is drifting and he can use the enforcer cannons when their shield comes back to sort of steady their drift through space so he could come up alongside him and get everything out.
You mean force shell cannons?
No, the enforcer cannons, because the force shell cannons do too much damage.
Well, enforcer cannons don't have a kinetic effect. That's just the size.
They have an extremely small kinetic effect.
Okay.
It's just enough to be able to steady a ship drifting through space.
Okay, never heard of that. I thought he'd be getting in front of them and trying to use a force shell on them or something.
I wouldn't have believed it either, but I've seen it with my own eyes, and my gosh, it works great.
Okay.
Interesting.
But yeah, specialized builds for pirating, that is a thing.
Yeah. Well, I found that situation very frustrating because I was like, how in the hell am I supposed to do this if this poor ship pops before I can blow up any of its modules? And I just was using, I had like plasma and lasers or something. It was,
I
was not outfitted
done.
Right.
not good for that. Yeah.
I was trying to be so surgical. I'm like, I'm trying not to kill you. And the damn thing's spinning all around and trying to shoot me, which it was going to get nowhere with. It couldn't possibly take down my highly resistant, 600 megajoule shield. Anyway, whatever.
And Darth Helmet is in your ship screaming, I told you across the nose, not up it.
Yeah, the nose.
Great. Oh, okay, sorry. Well, anyway, that was a nice little aside. Do you guys want to hear the latest episode of the Tinhadium Express?
And before we play it, we have to mention that when Bard posted this one, he said, and this is going to him, said, this one's a little spicy, might want to give a parental warning before playing it.
Okay, well,
and hide your women, hide your children.
Yeah, and no, none of us here right now, I don't think any of us listen to it before the show because we want to hear it live. So I'm not.
Never.
Yeah,
exactly.
I have no idea what's coming. I'm excited. And I always mute my mic because otherwise I start laughing.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
I mean, he knows and we know and the audience knows that nothing about our podcast does not require a parental warning. But like Nurgle said, all things considered, he still said that to us. So
yeah.
We're all going into this with the same level of warning. All right, here we go.
It's been a busy week here on the Express.
Yes, it has. Can we skip some of the details?
Is that restraining order against you still valid?
Yes, but...
Nothing. The people deserve the whole story.
Considering the state of Galnet this week, I guess it's only fair.
Yeah, only two stories this week, and I'm not thrilled about either one of them.
Should we talk about the news first?
Sure, let's get it over with. September 11th, Sirius Corporation discusses Thargoid abductions.
I suppose it's the second least exciting thing to ever happen on this date.
That's fucked up, man.
Too soon, Junior.
September 14th, Aegis releases upgraded Xenoscanner, even though the community goal failed.
I guess your mother was right.
About what?
Failure is an option.
Damn!
Okay, Tin Can, time to tell the people what's going on. We found out why Brian's voice box was making Thargoid sounds.
Some bullshit magical science reason about higher space-time frequencies, our combined hatred of the human race, and an overheating microprocessor.
Right, and in your instruction booklet, it says to put you in a cooling chamber and let the onboard nanobots perform repairs.
And that's the end of the story. I got repaired.
That is not the end of the story. During your time on ICE, you developed a relationship with the refrigerator.
I remember you constantly complaining about loose bolts and busted nuts over all the food.
Yep. And you got in a fight with it when you discovered it cheating on you with a toaster.
That bitch went from frigid air to stiff breeze real quick during the trip down the flight of stairs.
Right. And now since you
allegedly
broke its mobility servos, it needs to be manually wheeled around.
I just thought of a joke.
Oh no.
What do you call a cheating whore that's become wheelchair bound? Tokyo Grift.
That's been our week here on the Express. Enjoy the rest of today's show.
Damn. He wasn't kidding. We did need the warning.
Oh my god.
Oh crap.
It's like there's like a 9/11 joke in there at the beginning, and I was like, oh no, he did bring it, but I wasn't ready.
And then it went beyond that.
Bravo. I approve. Okay. Stamp of approval.
All I have to say is I'm so invested in the AI refrigerator coaster storyline.
Busted nuts all over the food.
Holy crap. So much wrong there.
Right on there. Yep. All right.
Very well. So, Now that we're all being expected to follow that.
we should just call the show now, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, we can end it if you want. I mean, yeah, I'll tell you what. Let's play us out. All right. Frick. So what's happened? There's been this business with the mega ships moving up. There was some nonsense that went on, and I basically only knew about this significantly because I still follow the announcement channels in all of these servers who are like organizing the anti-Thargoid rescue missions and stuff like that. So they still like post updates every Thursday and sometimes in between when targets change and blah, blah, blah. So I saw that, you know, half the megaships are supposed to be this staggered thing. Half the megaships are supposed to move. And they were closing down the mission giving ahead of time so that nobody would have missions that they couldn't turn in. They were going to move, and then the other half comes in later. So the first half goes off, and they move, except all the ones that didn't move just vanish. Completely don't exist in-game anymore. so it's like, oh no, whoops. So, of course, that was as of Thursday, and I'm sure it got fixed right shortly after that, and blah, blah, blah. So I think the whole situation is done now, but sort of fun.
Can I do my own sound bite for the missing rescue ships?
Sure.
Oh, no.
They're gone. anyway, that happened. I'm sure it was resolved. I don't know what else to say. And then there was a whole lot of nothing until, I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, a video was tweeted, and it's a teaser for update 17, which is now planned for October 16th.
I forgot that video even came out. When you said there was dev news, I'm like, wait, there's dev news? I forgot that came out.
Kind of. Aren't we supposed to have a stream this week?
Maybe.
I don't know.
So I'm not going to lie. I didn't even see the teaser until like today. And the thing they showed, you know what it looks like to me? It looks like the Thargoids version of a Goliath skimmer.
Yeah, it's like a bigger Revenant with two searchlights.
That actually does make me afraid because those Goliaths, they don't F around, man.
Yeah.
Those things will take the shield on your ship down in no time flat. Okay. Well, on my ship, maybe not yours. Shut up.
Okay, let's start. Let's give some opinions on this. We just heard Larks. Nurgle, you go next.
A couple of things. First, why are we releasing update 17 on the 16th? I mean, just a clear missed opportunity there to just wait a day and have that kind of synergy. Second, disappearing megaships. You know what we call that at FDF? We call that Tuesday.
That nothing ever goes wrong in Witspace.
Stuff happens.
That's just a Tuesday. But I watched that video, and that's 2 minutes and 40 seconds of my life I'll never get back.
Sure. God, it felt way longer.
Because that I'm not even sure it was 2 minutes or 40 seconds. I may have been a minute and 40 seconds. I don't know. But was that supposed to hype us up for something that's coming?
It did for me, but not because of the there's four lights skimmer thing.
I mean,
we're just accepting the conflating with Star Trek already. It's just it's a rote thing.
It's a given.
My reaction after watching that was, what? Was there something there that was supposed to trigger, you know, oh my God, I might scroon excitement? Missed it if there was.
So I have a question, because I haven't been to one of these newer sites that have like the growing crab.
Barnacle Matrix.
Yeah, those. Does the center always have that glowing double helix light coming out of the center?
No.
Because I don't think it did, and that's what caught my attention.
So,
four
they
lights.
Don't look like that naturally. But that does look a little bit reminiscent of the regular barnacle sites when an interceptor comes down to do whatever they do, presumably harvest them.
Exactly. So is an interceptor going to come down and, say, drop something off?
Or something else, bigger than an interceptor?
Exactly. Or are they growing legs for the Titans to land?
On foot Thargoid, well, it's a Titan. It's a mile and a half across.
Yeah. I mean, you saw what happened to the other ones that tried to land.
No, I'm picturing
an interceptor. Its heart petals extend out into legs, and it skitters like a spider across the surface.
It's like it does the Zoidberg noise.
And all of these ideas are better than what they showed.
It's a spooky, you can't see the monster type of trick.
But it's
okay, you give your
take, and I'll give my take.
It's like a universe could have existed in which this trailer would have hyped me up, but it's one where the lead up to it, there would still be like an actual Thargoid war going on right now. I just can't, I can't mentally divorce myself from the fact that the war doesn't matter anymore. The invasion systems don't happen. Tissue sampling has halted the war completely. There are no consequences. It is like there's no feeling of danger. It's in fact the Thargoids had to insert the Barnacle Matrix site as a way to lock off some systems. Otherwise, we could take them all away. Seemingly, we could completely run them back to having no systems if they didn't lock off these 44. Right, is how I feel. And that sort of that. So if that wasn't happening, if it wasn't, feeling pointless, if there was still combat going on that needed to happen or we were going to lose ground, then I would be like, oh, you know, this ominous, what's going to come? I think this is kind of what I was pretty snarky in Discord that day, but. I'm trying to be fair about it and say like it, these are the reasons that I don't feel like it matters to me right now, and if it weren't for those things, then I love that kind of mood, and I like the mood that's set by all these set pieces, and I like the new craft that have been added since update whatever, whenever this whole war started. I like the board game mechanic of the war itself, even though now it's kind of pointless and invalid. Like before all the numbers got moved around to the point where we were just winning so easily without even any combat, I'm really into that mechanic. I'm really into the Thargoid Titan is an awesome, masterful bit of video game scenery. Who know? You know, maybe something interesting will happen with it after whatever Limpet plays out. Yeah.
I completely agree with you on that. In my opinion, we're at the point in the, I'm using air quotes at this point, and that's the sad part, war, where even me, as someone who doesn't regularly go fight Thargoids, it's just like I understand it. It's fun when I'm with people, but otherwise it's not my thing. Even I agree, like the combat needs to mean more, or the Thargoids need to have a way to push us to a true stalemate in combat in space. So it isn't just a science off, which is what it is right now.
Yeah. Locking us out of a system to the, like, put a Barnacle Matrix in a system and now the bar doesn't move anymore. That's what they had to do to stop our advancement. They had to change the rules rather than win at the game.
That's, I don't know. That's the nerdiest thing I've ever heard, though. We're at a science off right now.
Yeah, because tissue sampling invalidated the need for combat. It seemed like somebody put a decimal place in the wrong spot, but nobody ever changed it back afterwards.
The greatest weapon. Yeah, the greatest weapon we have is a hypodermic.
And a limpet.
Yeah, at the moment, sadly, the war has become an elementary school science fair, and the Thargoid kids and the human kids are yelling at each other. It's Zoidberg IRL.
And you know, the peak before they made that change, I believe the number was 1,183 systems that the Thargoids controlled. Today, it's around 500.
Dang.
Hmm. Yeah, tissue sampling rolled them back.
Yeah, and we're down to just the hardest ones, because the closer you get to the Titans, it gets a lot harder to overturn systems.
And there's a couple. I know Oya is down to like 44 systems, and you're down to just the hardcore systems. You can't move. And there's another one that's down to like 55 or 59 or something. And again, you're down to the hardcore systems. You can't move anymore.
Yeah. Yep. And every week, a few pop up and get decimated in hours.
Hours,
and
yeah.
And then they're back.
The AXI might be the best and worst thing.
Well, they're all doing tissue samples now, too.
Oh, anybody are they really? Wants to fight sucks.
Well, that's Go to ASI Discord. There, it's all talk is sampling. And then, if they want to fight Thargoids, they have to go out to the nebulas like we did and deal with the altered buggy mechanics. Anyway, Chig.
Well, the video I thought was cool, and I went actually over to Twitter so that I could read people's tweets in response, and people were like crazy excited about it. After I watched it, I thought I was going to be reading the comments, and I thought there was going to be a lot of like saltiness, but there was a lot of people really excited.
Yay, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Really?
I was thoroughly surprised.
Because I want to be excited, but to me that was just it was a nothing burger. There was nothing there.
Well, that's just it. The way that they did it was cool. The way that they set the mood, it had a very aliens look to it. Yeah, when they're talking to the Marines and it's crackly footage coming back, stuff, which was cool. And then the creepiness, I liked that, but then it comes off as almost like a found footage kind of video kind of thing going on that I don't understand. Well,
they've all used that format though, like from the glaive and the scythe and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, but looks like we're kind of fighting it in space. These are like extra, kind of grainy and extra on, the planet surface looking at this. And I came away after watching that thing, like we were watching it. It was just like, okay, it's just a slow moving thing. Doesn't show anything it's doing. Really, it looks like it's just, I don't know, scanning or looking. There was nothing to get me excited in the least.
So, okay, how about this for how about this for in lore?
All right.
It's data download. It is a data representation of Sojourner's dreams downloaded out of her implant.
Oh, frick. I'm so on board.
See, now that would have made the whole thing interesting.
If they could have deployed it with a little message like explaining what that was.
Yeah.
Like Sojin went to Pranav Antal, and he hooked her up to the thing so they could see what's going on.
Well, I think they're still working with her at Aegis. She's still with the Aegis people, just
screw Aegis, go to the space hippies.
Imprisoned.
Well, I mean, what was the original system where the pulse came from? 22460. That's what I'm hoping is maybe it's, our probes down there, we're finally getting some data from, and this is what's happening on the planet there, and we're finally going to be going there to try to stop that. Now, that would be exciting.
Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. Right? Sorry, my brain just put something together as you talked about it.
Locke is going to swoon.
No, but I'm about to tinfoil the heck out of you.
Okay, tinfoil the hell out, because I just thought about that as I was watching it again as we're talking here. And I'm like, okay, if it was there, so give me some tinfoil.
Okay, so let's go back in time a little bit. 22460.
Okay, you don't need to talk that fast.
ADHD kicked in. I'm sorry.
I noticed. Yeah, you all of a sudden became Micro Machines Boy. Slow down and let's hear what you got.
The 80s.
Oh, frick. Oh, that was a deep cut. Anyways.
A joke from the late 1900s.
Screw you, Trax.
Late 20th century.
Anyways, so HIP 22460. So you got the classic Thargoid green, whatever bullcrap going on there at the base. But in the center, you have the Guardian blue, right? At the Thargoid matrix sites, what we saw in the video, the double helix and light coming off them going up is all a very vivid cyan. It's the same color as the Guardian modules.
Are you telling me or are you saying what if?
No, I'm telling you it is. It's the same color as the Guardian modules.
Yeah,
the light color, that it's giving off.
You have a color looking through the green.
Okay. Looking through the haze, so you perceive it as blue. Okay.
Yeah, so if we assume that that is that color blue, maybe the Thargoids from that site in HIP 22 blah blah Salvation's anus.
Yeah.
Is sorry.
No.
Maybe from that the Thargoids have actually learned how to make their own Guardian hybrid weapons, and that's what's actually being made at those sites.
No way.
No. Yeah.
I'm just saying, can you imagine if
Thargoid Guardian hybrid weapons
glowing blue and just wrecked your crap?
I'm expecting
like we did to them for so long.
I'm expecting more of a human Thargoid hybrid weapon where you get a you get an interceptor that's like, you know, like two human beings like stitched together. So it's got like four legs, four arms, and it comes flying at you as a star.
It's man Thargoid pig.
Yeah, it's the Isle of Thargoid half pig. It's the Isle of Man legs come to life with just an star eye man in the pig. Middle.
Thar man pig. Oh my god.
But anyways, why not both? Why not? We need to make Thargoid hybrid weapons while they're making Guardian Thargoid hybrid weapons.
All right.
Expecting Guardian stuff to show back up, but I'm not thinking that it is the Thargoids mixing with the Guardians.
I think the Thargoids trying to mix with the Guardians is why Guardian stuff might show back up.
I don't think it's within the Thargoid's like way of being to even think about that.
Right.
It
wasn't, but then they took a million humans, and so now they understand how we think better.
I don't think they're studying us.
No, they're putting aliens on our heads, and they're going to be zombies. I know you guys hate that so much.
I'm okay with it too.
Lark.
I'll be right next to you with a plasma rifle, chick.
Here's my true actual prediction. When we start, by the way, we already have the pulse wave scanner was upgraded, even though the CG failed, which is a really bad look, FDev, by the way. The CG failed. That means you need to, at the minimum, you need to write into the story that it failed, therefore, you know, Sirius Corporation is going to swoop in and save the day, or Azimuth is going to swoop in and save the day. You can't just say, go ahead anyway.
Rackham stole the plan.
That's it.
And gave it to us.
So, no, Rackham saves the day. Rackham saves
the
day.
The pulse wave anti-Xeno scanner, or I can't remember what order to say the thing is, but anyway, the Titan scanner is upgraded, so you can see human pods inside the thing now when you go there. But there's nothing to get them out. So when we get the Sirius Limpets to extract them...
They're very serious. Super serious.
we're gonna bring them back to the rescue ships with all our new, you know, nano fabric or whatever, with the not enough nano fabric or whatever the hell the answer was.
I need to do Star Trek technobabble.
We're gonna swoop them back. Well, I'm just trying to remember what was in the failed CG, but anyway.
Oh, gotcha.
We're gonna scoop them up out of the Titan. We're gonna bring them back, and everybody's gonna be like, "Hooray, hooray!" And then we're gonna start pondering, "What did Sirius Corporation want? What do we owe them now? Oh no, we're in the pocket of gangsters!" And right at that moment, all those people turn out to be carrying, you know, a disease like reverse mycoid, you know?
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking. That's going to be a reverse mycoid.
They're going to just like start intermingling with the general, you know, the general population again, and we're going to have like a massive outbreak of something horrible going on and stuff like that. That's my story prediction based on this. It's not the story I want, but it's the one I feel like I see coming down the road.
To be fair, if that happens, can I take some plague carriers and just drop them on planets I don't like?
Yes.
Okay.
No, you can't drop the rescue ships on planets you don't like.
That would require a new mechanic that involves you somehow scooping.
If the answer to this, if the answer to humans are being held in the Thargoids is limpets, Lark doesn't get a new mechanic for whatever he wants to do.
No, I can use a passenger ship. I'll just show up in a dolphin that has a surgical mask strapped to the front of it.
Do it.
It's N95 dolphin.
Yes. Yep.
Do it. Wow.
Do it the Dubs way. Open the cargo hold and tell him to get out.
Yeah.
From orbit.
From orbit.
Oh my God.
He usually drops him into a sun, though, doesn't he?
That's what I do.
Or yeah. Onto that one planet we all stopped at along one of our expeditions.
Yeah.
Or he tries to get him to go through the toaster.
He threw a bunch of them into the black hole, into the biggest, blackest hole.
Yeah.
Sirius A star.
I remember that.
He threw hundreds of them into that.
That man has no respect for slaves, I'm telling you.
I like to think that someday along whatever route it was we took on Distance Cruise 1 when he dropped all those people off on that random planet and peaced out, that FDev was paying attention and someone's just going to discover a random settlement there.
Okay. First off, FDev is never paying attention.
Yeah, true.
They don't watch this show.
Yeah, they don't even watch half of their own game.
To be fair, they probably haven't watched this since the Thick Thargoid Booty incident, but that's on us. So
well, that was
Thick Thargoid Booty incident of 3302 or whatever. Yeah. 3307.
I'm not saying it wasn't worth it. It absolutely was. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Thick Thargoid Booty.
Do I have that one on the board? No. Oh, no. You know what? I have to dig into my other computer and find the original source because soundboard, I haven't found that sound
I'll
again.
Do my best English accent then. Thick.
Oh God.
Thargoid Booty.
Not
that was pretty
bad.
Good.
You know, it's good. Funny. The word "thick" was pretty on point. That sounded a lot like
yeah.
And then the rest of it,
farther of course, just, the farther you
it
went,
just,
yeah.
It just took a shit. After
I think
that.
I was
the time
in
it got
New
to
Zealand
booty,
by the
man.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, guess what?
What?
There's other news that's not to do with Thargoids.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So apparently a bunch of commanders, and I don't know how they decided, but it's not all of them. Like maybe
I
was one. I got it. So we got this message asking for help with investigating.
I did too.
So I thought it was funny. I wrote in the notes because mine definitely has a typo. It said that this crewmate that we're looking for disappeared around 3992.
No, it was a typo, I think, and they just ran with it because every successive article has had the same typo.
So why did this guy get lost hundreds of years in the future from the game's perspective?
600, yeah, almost 700 years in the future.
I mean, now only I one number was listen. Wrong. So obviously they meant 3292, which would have been, you know, what, 20... math yeah. Hard chick
if they,
save
if they try
16 years ago
oh no back
16 17, years ago
17
time. Yes well no well 8 plus 8 is 32
what
my question is they don't want to fix a typo because that might make our landing gear stop working or you know right. Or anything like that so they're just gonna leave that in there.
they probably saw it on day one, and one of the devs was like, no, don't touch that.
Don't touch that. The landing gear's still working. Don't you dare touch
that. Yeah.
Of all things, and not like your whole landing gear, just like your back left landing gear quit working.
It's just like, we just got the cutters to stop crashing every single time. Yeah. Please
hey, they
don't
did.
Change anything else.
I have no idea how to make a ship tilt when it lands, so
I'm
we cannot have that landing gear
in
going.
My head, somewhere, there's a Python with only two of the landing gear down, and it's one front and one back, and it's like tilted at a 45-degree angle to be balanced.
And it's tail dragon.
Yep.
Kind of like a cat scooting across a floor.
Wow.
Holy crap.
So are we sure it's 3292? Yeah. So
16
years ago is what we're talking.
16 years ago.
Not 684 in the future. What if it is supposed to be the future and we're getting time trapped?
Star Trek shenanigans confirmed.
Yeah.
What if this is a little hidden clue that nobody's noticed yet and we just blew the lid off of it on this year podcast?
I think the chances of that are extremely unlikely.
So unlikely, I'm not even going to investigate it.
Exactly.
Well, if all of a sudden we see Rackham flying around in either a DeLorean or a Klingon bird of prey.
Yeah,
we're pretty sure time travel was not involved.
Oh, I got it.
And that FDev has just given up on trying to avoid stealing IP.
Yeah, I got it, Chig. The space DeLorean is the Adder. It's perfect.
I didn't think DeLorean could be any cooler until you said space DeLorean.
Space DeLorean,
DeLorean.
Well, yeah, and then the only way to go cooler from that is quantum DeLorean.
Space quantum DeLorean. Oh my god!
I have a quantum DeLorean, but I also don't.
Oh god!
You got Schrodinger's DeLorean.
Schrodinger's DeLorean.
I'm sorry. I am so tired that I'm just saying whatever comes into my stupid brain.
That's different from normal. How?
Get us back on track. I did not investigate
where
this.
Where we're going, we don't need tracks. Wait, what?
Oh.
I did investigate it.
Were they kicking me off?
Tracks. Oh, I was doing I was doing Back to the Future 3.
I was doing Back to the Future thing. I didn't mean to hurt you. Has anybody gone and followed the breadcrumbs and tried to check out the Rackham thing?
I went out there in my ASP Scout, and then I told everybody in system that I was there in an ASP Scout, and it freaked them out, and that was all I needed out of that.
Yeah, I ended up with five logs.
Five logs, you say?
Five logs. I'm going to start a fire.
I think you and I are having two different conversations.
And that's different from normal. How?
Yeah, you end up with five logs talking about these two people trying to secretly investigate Zach. Rakam. So
we're not even finding the missing crew member. We're just actually just talking about investigating the investigation.
No, they in the process of the logs, they actually find him, or at least pieces of him.
Yeah, between Bud and Angelo. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys.
But Mario, no fingerprints. I don't know. This is all important stuff.
Yeah, basically they found proof and leverage against Zachary Rackham that he's Calico Pirate.
Calico Zach.
Because
nobody can see
Zachary, and the criminal is Calico Zach. Oh man.
Or is it? Because I could very well be misremembering the name.
That's exactly what it is.
They found proof that Zachary Rackham did in fact do a bad commercial for a fragrance.
He's unelectable.
I don't know. I want to elect him more than ever now.
Is this interesting?
No. I mean, very.
I mean, to me it is, but I still don't think the feds are going to do anything about it. I really won't believe they will until something actually happens. Because think the feds are all corrupt a-holes and screw the Federation independent forever.
But they're all government.
Well,
suck. But I mean, what would they do? Make it? Isn't he like running for election? And this election's being delayed more and stuff. I don't.
Well, if they have proof that he is a very wanted pirate, that not only puts the top of the galaxy party center's funding in question, but it also puts in question if Zach would even still be on the ballots when the election in the Federation does happen.
It sounds to me like the people involved in the election are afraid that he might be a legitimate candidate, and they're trying to invalidate his candidacy before the election because, you know,
to be fair, are we talking real world news or what are we talking about right now? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. They're trying to skew way too close to real world.
and to be fair, just like in real life, being a criminal pirate means you might not actually be able to run.
And unfortunately, you might be actually able to run too.
Yeah.
I see nowhere in the Constitution that it says being a space pirate invalidates you from running for office.
I got it. It's the quantum candidate.
It's quantum. Like quantum space candidate. They're getting cooler. Now I'll vote for them. I don't know. I'd vote for a space pirate before any other politician.
Oh, absolutely.
At this point, I'm not a member of the Federation, but if I were allowed to vote, I'd vote for Rackham because I think the whole thing should be destabilized and taken apart.
Exactly.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm right there, too.
And just to clarify, not in real life. in Elite Dangerous.
You know. You know that when it comes time for Federation elections, there's going to be a CG.
I sure hope so.
Ballots or what?
And if they have the cojones to make it a three-way CG, I promise you, Rackham wins.
In a landslide.
I'd fly for Rackham.
I can see the candidates
make it to tier one.
I can see the entire reserve Imperial Navy going for Rackham.
Well, okay, but there are plenty of people who roleplay Federation who would fly for those other candidates.
They're called
too.
Fednecks, and they don't matter.
Some of them, the ones who are going for what's his name, T-1000's little henchmen, they're the Fednecks who probably vote for that. Then there's a different segment of Federation loyalists that would probably go for Winters. Anyway, I think you're right, though. I think
if you play in solo and do any kind of BGS, you should not be allowed to vote. That's just what
definitely. I agree with that completely.
Yeah. If I had to choose any of those three candidates, I'd honestly choose Winters because she's kind of hot.
All
I'm
right.
going
okay.
with severed head.
Everybody ready
Spider
for
Woman.
Cheese of the Week?
Was it Duval?
The Emperor.
Zamina.
Arissa.
Zamina
Torval.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dismembered. Yeah, spider. Queen. Yeah. Spider head queen. Yeah. I'm voting for her just because she seems like one cranky
definitely,
bitch.
Definitely Imperial.
That's going to be a write in candidate, right?
Isn't she?
I don't know.
I only know a couple of the power plays.
I can't shoot them. I don't care.
She's the Mickey Mouse vote. They just write down Spider Queen.
Spider Queen. I remember their names, but I don't always remember
Spider Queen.
What they are other than a name and a module.
They are a galactic power. Let's see. She's Empire. Yes.
Yes, she's okay.
Spiderhead.
Spiderhead is Empire.
Makes sense. Is there
chit chat about this Rackham thing? Is this getting people to pay attention to it?
The usual Imperial and Fed suspects. I really haven't seen it discussed anywhere else personally.
I got a random question. It was on, I don't remember which planet it was on. It was like 7.
Is a pop
A7A
a calzone?
Or something. A7A.
Sorry, that's a random question.
Yeah.
A7A is the planet it was at in the system you had to go to. And before you go there, it tells you you're going to have to search. There's a lot of planets in this system. You're going to have to search long and hard to find this. I literally flew in system and saw in system chats people were talking about it. Somebody said, it's on this planet. So I just flew to that planet, landed, and voila, I got my logs, and then I flew away.
I honestly don't know.
If you scan the planet, I didn't get any indication.
So there's a player there just acting as a nav beacon just every
pretty
30
much.
Seconds. It's A7A.
Literally, when I flew to that system, that planet, and I scanned it, this I don't remember the name of the point that it was, like Hidden Point or whatever the frick the name of it was,
sure.
didn't show up until after you scanned the planet.
There was no indication
that it appeared new for me. So I don't know how I would have known that it was a place I should have landed at.
It was called Hidden Point. And then if you detail surface scan the planet, because I did three planets before someone managed to say where it was. So I was in system for a while. And when I scanned the planet, it turned from Hidden Point into like sub, I don't remember the name. Gosh dang it.
Oh, see, it
so
wasn't
you used
on the
DSS
planet.
On it.
Yes, I used the DSS, and it did change the name from Hidden Point to something else.
Okay, it wasn't on the planet when I came up. Hidden Point didn't show up as a point of interest or as a surface installation or anything until after I scanned the planet. And then Hidden Point was on that planet, but I don't know if I would have noticed that there was no Hidden Point, and then there was. You know, like, wasn't in red,
right.
or wasn't flagged.
So no, they did a good job hiding it.
Sure. Well, not all that good when you got Steve and Super Cruise telling everybody where it is.
Well, that's
Super
not
Cruise
their fault.
Steve. Super Cruise Steve over there.
Spoiler Steve.
Spoiler Steve out there blowing it for everybody.
Yeah, he's just hanging out. It's like, nobody's going to find this shit. I'm just going to stay here and tell everybody where it is. It was weird. Because so I did scan two planets before somebody, I saw in system chat, somebody say where it was. I'm like, well, I'm at planet 2. This is 7A. I'm going out to 7A. And sure shit, there it was.
So is Super Cruise Steve just a King of the Hill guy's looking out the window of an anaconda drinking a beer?
So Super Cruise Steve is actually four guys standing there. Boomhauer.
Yeah, one goes, yep. One goes, yep.
Yep.
One goes, mm-hmm. And the other goes, 7A.
But I'm going to tell you, man, that 7A is that what that thing is, man. That's what's happening. That's my best. What is that, Boomhauer?
That was all right.
That was not bad.
That was pretty good.
We should wrap this up before we fully go off the rails.
Well, I think it's good. If we cut it off right here, we'll have only good content.
It'll right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Chig, do you want to do... We did a Chig chat last
week. Oh, yeah, because somebody got Triple Elite. Who was that?
Yeah, it was...
Hold on.
Jared Crew?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was it. Congratulations, man. You and... Jan Trex had Triple Elite on the same week. I'm very impressed and very good work. That was awesome. I was going to bring that up last week, but I was sick. I just could not come on and help out. I mentioned that, right? That I was dying.
And we were about to start Dolphin Squad 2 or something.
And I built a dolphin without me.
Yeah. We'll do it again. Cause we didn't get to complete my interpretation of Dolphin Squad is it's fun. You'll have fun with it. And, it's a challenge. We weren't really in danger of losing, but if we fought the Hydra, things would be on real shaky ground.
That might take four hours.
I do not feel like, I mean, given a few hours to work our way through it, I'm not sure that's a guaranteed victory. You know what I mean? And how much synth are we willing to commit to this brick wall of bullet sponge?
Good. I mean, just think about that. Trying to kill the hearts with all those small Goss cannons.
Right. The small Goss. I mean, Goss has armor piercing of 140, but the Hydra's armor is 270 or something so the small Goss is doing only 30% of its total damage to the Hydra. It's even at optimal range.
I just think exerting that first heart.
The Medusa, we couldn't exert the heart with constant Goss fire with less than three of us on the target.
And I guarantee you, when you guys do a Hydra with that, I will watch you maniacs do it.
Yeah.
I'll go engage one solo without fear of dying, but I wouldn't be able to kill it. You know?
Right. And the Dolphin's easy. It's easy to run. This is not the thing to talk about on the podcast. People don't care that much.
You mean
it's
an dangerous? Interesting?
Well, I just mean specifically high Thargoid combat in a dolphin, the most inappropriate.
That's the loosest of screws that we've gotten today. Let's go for it.
Dude, has somebody killed a Hydra and a dolphin? They've done it in a Sidewinder. Well, that was with cheating.
The
mechanic.
Sidewinder, so the Sidewinder has the same guns as the dolphin, and we know that's only.
With it's hammer goss,
officially
when it was
impossible with bugged hammer goss, which were doing 4x damage. So the answer would be no. Bugged hammer goss was the only way to do it. Okay. Anywho, is there anybody else that needs congratulations? Did someone share a funny picture or anything?
I forgot where Chick Chat's at.
It's the one that's labeled Chick Chat.
Oh God, McGeek posted that picture of that little girl just eating that block of cheese and calling it a cake.
She's like, isn't it cake?
And the mom's like, don't eat that. And the girl closes her eyes like her mom can't see her if her eyes are closed and takes another bite.
So puts it up to her mouth.
Alec Turner building a freaking chair.
That was out of trees, seemingly.
I think he's lying to us. This guy jumps like SRVs over canyons and traverses planets. Why is he building a chair?
I'm jealous of Alec Turner's woodworking tools.
It is pretty good.
Oh, you know.
What else we got?
Grover Kiwi putting more lights in Legos.
Yep. But actually, a Blooming Wind putting that Marissa Tomei is an anagram for It's a Me Mario. It's just my favorite thing in the world. It's a Me Mario.
That's a good week. It's been a good week.
Yeah, on Chig Chat. Yeah,
I have one more for you, Chig. Hold on, I'm moving the link.
Oh no!
All right,
it's live.
I'm scared.
We'll do it live.
Doing it live.
Hold on, I gotta open Chig Chat again.
The cake is not a lie if it's a big block of cheddar cheese.
Oh, here's
someone in Starfield did 10,000 sandwiches in zero gravity.
What is that? I don't know. Explain it to me like I've never played Starfield.
With the mechanics that Skyrim and other Bethesda games have, they spawn in 10,000 sandwiches in a zero-G environment and then push themselves through them, and it's hilarious.
That is actually pretty cool.
This is a console commands kind
of
stuff.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, console commands you can do, and you can do all kinds. People have been doing all kinds of crazy stuff with it.
Fair enough.
It made me laugh. Pretty good. I thought you'd like it.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. The cheese of the week is we only do this segment so that Colin Ford isn't wrong about us.
Hey, that's, and by the way, did you guys mention his poor broken arms and stuff last week?
Yeah, it did get talked about on the Discord. We didn't talk about it on the podcast.
Oh man,
Exactly. I mean, I had heard when that happened, you know, in Lave Discord. And it was like he broke both his arms. And
holy
then,
crap.
Colin took a bad navigation. Colin rides a bike to work, took a bad navigation and went through an area that he didn't, a car moved or something. The story, this is a third hand, you know what I mean? But anyway, the story tried to dodge between two cars and clipped a mirror and just went right over.
Yeah, I was gonna send him a message in Discord, get well soon, but I didn't want him to feel like he had to try to type back. So I'll say get well on the show, and man, that's.
But then rough. I was really impressed to hear him on the show. I thought he'd be out, but no, he was present on Lave, and you know, off sounding
painkillers by chance.
He said paracetamol. Which I think is British for Tylenol. That's British. That's British for acetaminophen. But anyway, yeah. I don't know. Horrible. It seems like he slung himself up and walked into a surgery about it. But
He was the only guy who got up in the middle of the night and hopped in our Discord to wish us a happy anniversary on our thing. So as far as radio guys go, he's the best there is.
Yeah, so yeah. We got to make the story.
And he got broken arms for it.
Yeah,
yeah. That's because he didn't stay for the whole show, that bastard.
Yeah. he didn't pay up.
No, since we heard it like third hand, the story, we need to make it better every time we tell it. So that's awful that he broke his arms dodging two gargoyles while saving a child on his motorcycle.
Yeah,
that's true. When he leapt off of the bike to knock the child out of the way of the speeding train, I think, you know, that was really heroic.
It's so heroic.
Yeah, it's too bad about the broken arms, but I'm sure he thinks it was worth it for the life of the child, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, but the real story is he was walking and he like slipped on a banana peel, fell backwards, broke both his arms while Benny Hill music was playing. But
oh,
and Chig made it worse. Play us out, Trax.
That's it. No, it looks like somebody updated our movie anniversary. So we got one more fluff piece before we go.
Yeah, there's only four, and only one of those is really worth mentioning.
What
and that is
Prisoners.
I don't know.
I assume it's a movie because it's here in movie anniversary.
And it's two years ago. I have no idea what it is. I don't care.
I have no idea what that is. Okay, Rush Hour.
25 years ago.
Chris Tucker.
A mostly forgettable movie.
Really?
Yeah. The only thing on here that's really, really significant is Steamboat Willie. And it.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
And it is 95 years ago. I mean, that's older than me.
So
you saw that in the theater.
I was going for the same thing.
Yeah. I beat you to it.
Hashtag thanks, man.
But that is, it's astonishing that that is 95 years old.
Not if you look at it. It looks older than that.
Hell, but still.
Yeah. No. And Cat on a Hot Tin Roof was 65 years ago.
Yeah.
Which makes that in what, the year 3992 that came out?
Got him.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, that's going to have to do it for us at the Loose Screws Podcast, because if we keep going,
We'll it's just, downhill from here.
Yeah, it's yeah. Not okay, sure. Nothing better is going to happen.
Question. Random tech, okay. not text. Tech question.
Tech question. Okay.
Went to watch Wheel of Time on Amazon on my TV, smart TV, through the app. It was glitchy and laggy. It's like, what the hell? And it's on Amazon. So it's like, okay, well, what's going on with Amazon? Checked another movie. It played fine. Checked another TV show. Played fine. What the hell? Went back to watch it. Super janky and jerky. It's like, this is really dumb. What is going on? Changed like Wi-Fi channels in my house and stuff, everything. But that one would play screwy. That was on Friday night. Decided me and my daughter watched two movies Saturday night. And everything was fine on Amazon. Then Sunday, me and my wife decided to try to watch Wheel of Time again. Once again, you know, really glitchy, you know, like it isn't, buffering properly and stuff.
Yeah.
So then again, checked another couple things. Everything worked fine. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? So then I just went and installed Amazon Prime on my Xbox, and the show played perfectly fine through Amazon there. What could possibly cause show to play glitchy when everything else on the same platform works fine? Mystery to me. I want to know any theories.
I will tell you. Okay, so by the laws of troubleshooting, what we actually want to do is rule out the things that it can't be. Like you said, you screwed with your Wi-Fi, but you already knew it wasn't your Wi-Fi's fault because you could play other movies.
Yes.
And
I knew it wasn't Amazon itself.
So my next guess was going to be Amazon is distributed like server hosting. So like the server where that movie is, the closest server with that movie on it has some kind of internet problem to you right now. You know what I mean? There's some ping problem going on. But other movies are coming through fine because they're pinging off a different server.
Okay.
But then the same movie still has problems days later. Still maybe could be that. Then you install it on your Xbox and it works.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do anymore.
I know. Yeah. No,
it's clearly Amazon's fault. No idea why.
Yeah, exactly. Like everything, I have an off-the-wall theory.
Oh, no.
All right. Of course, we know you do.
It was probably the same situation that my stupid World of Warcraft server back in the day had. And we used to joke that, oh, that's the server next to the door, and it just gets knocked over every time someone goes in or out of the room.
But why does the Xbox connect to it?
Yeah.
Because Microsoft paid better. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, it's as good an answer as any.
I mean, I suppose it's possible that Xbox could have different servers assigned to it, or you know what I mean? Like not a VPN, but sort of a little bit of a VPN like thing, like connections from mobile devices versus connections from TVs. You know what I mean?
Twist.
Could get routed to different servers on Amazon's side, not on the sender side.
Yeah, those are two non-mobile devices though.
Xbox could still have a different set of server handling or whatever programmed into the Amazon servers when you receive a request from Xbox, process it on this server or something.
I got the answer 100%. That particular Amazon Web Services data center is nothing but retooled Xboxes.
No, I know what it was. I know it, and I finally solved it. That particular server was in a closet at FDev. All right.
At FDev, yeah. Right. Okay. Well, anyway, this is the Loose Screws podcast. That's all you're going to get. It's going to be fine. You're going to be okay with it. And for some reason, you're going to come back again next week. I can't explain it any better than you can.
Idiot.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Discord links. Actually, you know what? I should update that because didn't discord.io, they got hacked and decided to just close shop like weeks ago.
What?
Anyway. Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. That whole service like got hacked by somebody and they just turned it all off.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, so I think, let me click it. Yeah, see, this site can't be reached. So the link to our Discord that's been in our show notes for weeks has been not working. I'll change that. I'll change that Discord link right now.
We're going to have to reprogram TefBot.
So anyway, there's a merch store at loosegrewsed.com. I don't always say this stuff anymore. Patreon, you can support the show. Thanks for your
Loading.
Support, patrons, blah, 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 blah. And actually, you know what? Here's what we're going to do to end the show because there's there's like 10 suggested titles for this episode, so I'm going to need my cast members to narrow it down for me. Here we go. Possible titles for this episode. Jibber Jabber with Friends.
No. That's a good one, though.
Space Content in Spaceships. It's okay.
That's okay.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yet another random podcast.
Well, that can be a subtitle on all of our
podcasts. Yeah, yeah, it's too general.
Tracks was snarky. Too
that's
general.
Just normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Micro Machines Deep Cut.
That's okay. That's the next one, I think.
Next one. Blah, blah, Salvation's Anus. I can't even get through it. Blah, blah, Salvation's Anus.
That's the leader of the clubhouse.
Oh my God.
I am sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Then we've got Man Thargoid Pig.
That's also a good one.
So good. It's my favorite. So unlikely, I'm not even going to investigate. Okay. Schrodinger's Space DeLorean, which is an excellent title. Unfortunately, it's up against Man Thargoid Pig, so it's going
to be. And blah, blah, Salvation's Anus.
Right. Duper Cruise Steve spoiling it for everyone. Another great title. Yeah, unfortunately, it's like you know, you're up against the dream team right now.
We can bring some Super of these. Steve will be back. Don't worry.
Yeah, he'll be back.
He'll return in the sequel.
Yeah. We need to bring these titles to the Olympics.
Yeah. One more. I have an off the wall theory, which again, it would be a good title.
Yeah.
So basically, it sounds like we're down to either Man Thargoid Pig or Blah Blah Salvation's Anus.
I laugh too hard at it every time I see Blah Blah Salvation's Anus.
All right. I think we have a winner.
I can't vote for myself, but I feel like I'm outvoted.
We're going to bank the rest of these for future episodes.
Exactly. All right, that's everybody. That's going to do it. For me, and thanks to Lark Shadow, Chig, and Nurgle for making this a very memorable episode of the Loose Screws podcast. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye everybody.
Goodbye. Blah, blah. Salvation's Anus is possibly the funniest thing I've heard all week. It's Monday, mind you.
Yeah.